That was just for fun. Do you all feel relaxed?
Yes.
Or traumatized?
No, I don't know. I feel like I laughed too much.
Me too.
That was just for fun.
I remember she said swaying in the wind. I was like, no.
You guys are good sports to cooperate on that one. All right. So.
How did the last class do with that?
I didn't see any branches in the air. I will say that. There were no branches.
Me neither.
None. Okay. So I appreciate cooperation. Okay. So today, we're going to talk about rooted, being oaks of righteousness. Have you guys ever heard that phrase, oaks of righteousness? It's in the
somewhere.
Bible, so we're going to look at it today. But let's start by talking about what is a metaphor or a symbol, a simile. Anybody know what that means? Can we talk about that? Yes, ma'am.
A metaphor.
A
metaphor compares two
alike
things without using like as a
verb. Look at that. She pulled the dictionary definition. Very good. Very good.
You know.
A metaphor is when you compare two things. And specifically, a metaphor doesn't use like or as. It says that it is that thing, right? So, for example, well, these are not metaphors. Some of these are actually like more like similes, which you probably also know what that is. She's a ray of sunshine. A lot of times we see nature is used to make metaphors, right? Because everybody understands nature, right? If you say the sun, people have a point of reference for the sun, all right? If you say water or a storm or any of those things, people recognize. So she is a ray of sunshine. I could say she is happy, and you would understand, oh, okay, she's happy. But if I say she's a ray of sunshine, then what do you do?
She's bright.
She just glows. Like, she just puts joy out everywhere she goes, right? What about he is strong as an ox, right?
Like,
it doesn't matter where you go in the world. If somebody knows what an ox is and you tell them that man is strong as an ox, they're going to be impressed, right? Because an ox is really big and strong. All right, here's my favorite one. Owen is a little tornado. Does anybody know who Owen is?
Yes.
That's my little four-year-old, and he is a little tornado. So this was an example.
He destroys everything.
He's not that bad. But he's a sweetheart. But a lot of times we use things like metaphors or symbolism or similes. So simile would be more like if we say is like or not. It's strong as an ox, things like that. We use these things to convey meaning in ways, in times when it would be difficult to fully express it, just our simple words, okay? Or to give people a visual, a better understanding of what we're trying to convey, right? Nature, a lot of times, like I said, is used because it's universal. Everybody is familiar with nature, right? The Bible uses metaphors too, okay? In fact, Jesus used a lot of metaphors in his parables, okay? This is the one that comes to mind for me, is this parable of the sower in Matthew chapter 13. Do you guys know the parable of the sower? Yes?
Mm-hmm.
Who can give us a synopsis of the parable of the sower? All right.
So, he threw seeds in a lot of the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was some that had rocks.
Mm-hmm.
And it couldn't grow because of the rocks. And there was weeds, and it choked it, so it couldn't grow. And then there was the good stuff.
That yeah, the good one.
Good.
All right.
And it grew. Mm-hmm. And there was one more, and I forgot it.
The birds came and snatched it up.
The road, and came and ate it.
So that the way that Jesus told that parable and the way he expressed this idea. So you know, the sower is the preacher of the word, the person who's casting the seed, right? And the seed is the word of God. The soil is the heart of man. And then all the different ways that Jesus described that people receive or don't receive the word of God. Do what?
There's only one good way, but a lot of bad ways.
Right.
The seed will die.
Right. So we see the one example of, like, if you can visualize soil that's rich and fertile and seeds going in there and sprouting. But then you have so many others. The enemy comes in like a bird snatching the seed up before it can lay root. Or there's a rocky soil, right? someone's heart is hard and they can't, the roots just can't take go down. And so this symbolism gives us better visual, better ideas of, and you might experience this within your own life when you're trying to minister to someone or speak to someone, and you kind of see their response and you're like, oh, wow, they kind of got a hard heart like that soil that was rocky, okay? Or when you see people flourish, which is always good, then you can visualize that too. So this just helps us, symbolism, metaphors, similes, help us comprehend the intangible, right? Things that are just ideas. Strength. Okay, that's an idea, but like if you take it and you compact it into an ox, then you can visualize, oh, okay, that's really strong. Okay? So, in light of that, you are a tree. Okay? This is one example of metaphor in the Word of God that resonates with my heart. And I've latched onto it a long time ago, and I've prayed over my life. I prayed over my kids' lives. That that we would be oaks of righteousness, that we would grow. And this idea comes from Isaiah chapter 61. This is actually a messianic prophecy. So this is foretelling what Jesus would personify when he came. And in fact, in Luke chapter 4, Jesus reads this very scripture in the temple, okay? It says, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn in Zion, and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor." So this is talking about people basically who have been impacted by the Spirit of God, right? And those people who have had their ashes turned into beauty and their mourning turned into joy, they will be oaks of righteousness. That means you and me. Right? We will be oaks of righteousness. Now, I love this because the Bible tells us we're trees, but not just any trees. In this verse, it says oaks. Now, I did a little bit of horticultural research. Do you know what horticulture is?
Yes.
The study of plants.
Yeah, very good. So anything relating to plants, the growth of plants, how to grow plants, how plants grow.
I'm more of a guess.
Do what?
I'm more of a guess.
It was good. Well, you did good. So you are a tree. But you're an oak, okay? Now, in my research,
you're as tall as one.
You're as tall as one, yeah, you are. The Bible compares the righteous to being a tree, but not just any tree, an oak. And in my research, one of the descriptions of an oak is that it is a hardwood tree species that is exceedingly strong and durable, okay? And I love that. In Jeremiah chapter 17, he kind of gives us a similar idea. It says, "But blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. They will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit." So Jeremiah in this chapter is drawing a correlation between the person who trusts in the Lord, whose faith and hope is in him, and having the strength to walk through difficult times. Mm-hmm.
I don't think oak trees have roots.
Have roots?
No, fruit.
Well, they make fruit. It's acorns. It's not fruit that we eat.
Nuts.
Well, they're the seed. Any type, the term fruit of any plant would refer to whatever is the seed-bearing part of that plant. So it's not always fruit in the terms that we would want to go to the grocery store, buy it, and eat it.
So I can't have dragon fruit.
I don't know. All right. I don't know about your allergy. It's not the fruit of a dragon. It's the fruit of a dragon fruit plant. Okay, well, let's carry on. So there's a correlation between the person who trusts in the Lord and the person being able to come through difficult times. A drought is one of the worst things a tree can go through, right? A plant, they need water. So being able to get through those hard times, being always green and always flourishing, comes from being having your trust in the Lord, right? Okay, so the strength of a tree is developed over time. It doesn't happen overnight, okay? And it needs a lot of important elements to reach full maturity. So an additional fact from my horticultural research said, full maturity of a tree, of an oak tree, can be reached after years of continual growth. Slow growth. Okay? It doesn't happen overnight. It can take an oak tree approximately 30 to 35 years to reach full maturity. Things like the climate, water, the soil, nutrients, all impact how that tree will develop. So if we're drawing on this metaphor, this idea that we are an oak tree, you have to realize that the sooner you get started growing in God, right? Not putting it off to, oh, when I'm an adult, I'll try to like really tap into things of God. But no, start right now. The sooner that you will reach potential and become mature in the kingdom of God, right? So Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 1 says, remember now thy creator in the days of your youth, thy youth, while the evil days are come not, nor the years draw nigh when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Now that sounds a little bit grim about growing up. But the fact is that the older you get, the more trouble you'll see. If only by a ratio of exposure in life, right? Maybe some of you guys have already been through some pretty tough stuff, right? Some of you may have not been through anything that you would classify as very tough. But whatever the case, at some point in your life, you're going to go through things where you need to have roots that are deep to hold you and keep you steady. There's no better time than right now at your age. And actually, you guys, in 11 to 13, raise your hand if you're 11.
I mean,
come on. Okay, raise your hand if you're 13.
Ah, I tricked
it. Everybody else is 12. Raise your hand if you're 12. Okay. So you guys are at that perfect age, you know. You're starting to actually, like, think about, like, growing up and, like, and all that. And this is a perfect time for you to make decisions about how you want your life to go, right, in the future. Right now is the perfect time for you to become rooted in the kingdom of God. And plant those roots deep so that as you grow up, you will be growing also in your spirit man. All right, so roots play a really important role in the growth of a tree, in the life of a tree. They we usually tend to focus on what we see above ground, right? Whether it's big and beautiful and spread out, what color the leaves are, what kind of fruit it has, right? Or doesn't have, maybe if it's acorns. But the fact of the matter is that the roots are the life source of the tree, right? They are imperative for the growth of the tree. The strength and the sustaining power of the tree comes from its roots. Roots anchor the tree into the soil, keeping it straight and stable. And a tree that develops a deep, strong root structure can withstand heavy winds without toppling to the ground. Remember when we were talking about those difficult things in life? There's another metaphor for you. Have you ever heard of the idea of the storms of life? Right? Of hard times coming and thinking of those in terms of being a storm? If you think of yourself as the tree and there's a storm coming, you need something that's going to help you hold on, right? You need deep roots that are strong and grounded in the earth. Roots also store reserves of the food produced by the trees. Well, so let me skip to the third one here. Roots are the lifeline. They take up water and nutrients and even air out of the soil and carry it up. Have you guys ever studied this in science class? You ever seen these diagrams of the storm? Some of it, yeah, of how it moves up through the tree. And then when it gets in the leaves, the sunlight, it interacts with sunlight to produce what?
Energy.
Energy and fruit is part of it. What's the process called? Bonus points.
Photosynthesis.
Very good. I'm so proud of you. All right. So through photosynthesis, it gets that nutrient that the tree needs to grow, right? And then another important part of that is that the roots store reserves of that food, right? So the tree uses all the nutrients and things from the soil and produces energy, fruit, flavors, sugars, things like that. And the roots store some of that, okay? Just to continue this spiritual correlation, have any of you guys familiar with the parable of the 10 virgins? Yes? Who could give me a synopsis?
So that's the one, right, with the five women take the lamps and they pack oil, mm-hmm. and the other five just have the lamps. So then they're going to go meet the man or whatever, mm-hmm. and they had to, like, camp out or whatever. And the women that didn't pack the oil were like, hey, can we use some of your oil because we need it to light our lamps? Mm-hmm. And they were like, no, because we packed our oil and we won't have any left if y'all use some. So then the ladies that actually were prepared got to go and meet it because they packed another thing of oil.
Exactly right. Very good, Ryan. Melissa, can you teach Sunday school or something? But you're absolutely right. And they were prepared, right? They had a store of oil. They weren't waiting until the moment they needed it to look for it, which was the problem with the other five, right? And the same is true for the things of God. And that's the principle that Jesus was conveying in this parable, is that you have to have the oil at all times, right? Because you never know when you're going to need it. You never know when the time's going to come that it's going to be needed. Go ahead. It won't hurt my feelings. Okay. So, let's think about this, okay? We're going to draw this out. Sometimes Jesus had to explain his parables, right? In fact, the parable of the sower is one of those that after he was done telling the masses the parable of the sower, his disciples were like, excuse me, what in the world were you talking about all that?
Mm-hmm. Sometimes when I was a kid, I always thought it was dumb. Jesus kept on telling them that he was going to die and resurrect, but they never thought he was doing it. One time he just told them straight, flat out.
Mm-hmm. And they still seemed surprised when it happened, didn't they?
Yeah.
So sometimes he had to explain his parables. So we're going to kind of draw out this metaphor that we're talking about, just like he had to explain sometimes. So we're going to do another exercise. So stand. No, I'm just kidding. No more meditation. That's a joke. This is going to be a thought exercise, okay? Let's brainstorm an idea. So we've just established the idea that we are a tree, right? Say, I am the oak.
I am the oak.
I mean, next time you look in the mirror every morning, say, I am the oak. Okay? Start your day off right. And then you can always breathe rough. Sway
in the morning.
Yeah.
Like, what are you doing?
What are you doing? Yeah, I'm connecting.
Morning meditation. My mother will be judging me.
Okay, so if you are the tree, you're the oak, right? And you need to grow. All the stuff that you need to grow is there, right? How do you get it? Through your roots, right? Okay. So what are those things, though, that we need in order to survive and thrive and grow and flourish? Now, I'm not talking about how we get them, which is our roots, and we'll talk about that in a second. But what are the things that we need? So for a tree, it's nutrients, it's water, it's
sunlight,
those things. So for what is it for us? What do we need in the spirit?
The bread of life.
The bread of life. That's perfect. Any other ideas?
Prayer.
Well, okay, so prayer would be an avenue. That's one of the roots. But what are we trying to do when we go into prayer? What are we going after?
Mm-hmm. Connecting with God.
Connecting with God. We need connection with God, right? And we do that by
prayer,
which is one of our roots. Okay? We need, you mentioned the bread of life, we need righteousness. God, we need wisdom, right? Of how to make right decisions. We need spiritual food. We need revelation. And understanding. And we need the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. Right? And that's going to be exhibited when we have that connection. We need forgiveness. Right? Self-control. Yeah. We need gentleness. Yeah. We need redemption. Forgiveness. All those qualities are things that are in the kingdom of God that we need access to if we're going to grow and we're going to continue and develop in the kingdom of God. So, Lily, if I want to get to a connection with God, I'm going to get it just like a tree does through its roots.
Yeah.
Through its roots, right? What are the roots for us? Okay, what are the avenues, the conduits that are used in our lives to get to those things that we need? You mentioned prayer already.
Reading the Bible.
Reading the Bible. If we need the bread of life, we got to read the Bible, right?
Worship.
Do what?
Worship.
Worship is a great one, right? If I want to connect to God, like Ava said, I need to worship, right? That's where I'm going to spiritually connect to God. What else? Any other ideas? Fellowship, communion, studying, worshiping by yourself, worshiping corporately, preaching the word, fasting. How many know what fasting is? All right, keep your hand up if you love fasting. Anybody who said they love fasting a lot. I love the results if you do fast, mm-hmm. But the process isn't very fun. Those things, though, help us tap into the kingdom of God and the elements and the nutrients that we need in the spirit to grow and thrive. So here's a really easy one to remember. Anybody familiar with this song? If you read your Bible and pray every day, you will grow. Right? Okay, so that's an easy one. You know what? The teenagers didn't even think of that. The older girls. They're like, what? Oh, okay. But yeah, you need to read your Bible and pray every day. We worship. We need to listen to the preaching of the Word. Study the Word of God, right? All of those things are going to be the roots that we are digging down in the soil so that we can connect and absorb the things of God, right? So I really want you to categorize that in your head. Prayer is important, but why is prayer important? Because I've got to be connected to God, right? And that's the avenue through which I do it, okay? So here's another interesting horticultural fact. Roots and trees and plants have a characteristic of hydrotrophism. What does hydro mean?
Water,
very good. And hydrotrophism refers to a characteristic and a nature where they automatically, and they're hardwired to reach towards those things that they need. Mm-hmm. Okay? They are hardwired to grow in the direction of water. Right? Remember how in the verse in Jeremiah it says that they're planted by the rivers of water, right? And they reach towards those things that they need. It's like they know it intuitively. And the same is true for us, right? If I begin to stretch out my roots, okay? Now how many of you guys, you've probably experienced this, you go to pray. And at first you're kind of like stiff, you know, you gotta kind of like loosen up in prayer before you really feel like you start connecting to God, right? But once you do, you will draw in the direction of the things of God if you reach your roots towards, if you reach out your roots in prayer. If you will worship, I promise you, you are going to end up in a place of connection with God. If you are consistent, and if you go there and you're persistent, right? It's ingrained in those processes to go towards the things of God if you will tap into it. So when it comes to the things of God, all of the goodness He has for us, all of those principles we talked about, all those nutrients, they're there, right? But you have to make the choice to stretch your roots, right? And stretch your roots in the direction of those things of God. As we stretch out and we get those nutrients, we begin to grow. The process we talked about before, photosynthesis, okay? We're going to grow. So it's very important. So we talked about, we had some ideas about what were our roots, right? What are the nutrients? And something that I found really beautiful and amazing is the upper part of a tree is called the crown, okay? What we see above ground, most like a canopy sort of, is called the crown. And then, of course, we know the roots, right? According to research, root structures are anywhere from 2, sometimes 8 times larger than the canopy, than the crown, okay? So what do you think would be the crown? If the nutrients is what we need to grow in God, and the roots are how we get it, what is the crown?
Beliefs.
Your beliefs, okay? What's the difference for us between roots and the tree? If you go outside and you look around.
Outer beauty?
Huh?
Outer beauty?
Outer beauty, okay, good.
So the roots is how we get it. Mm-hmm. Like it's like internal, like what we reach out internal. To go to.
Mm-hmm.
And then what you get from your roots is what will show.
Very good. Absolutely. It's what people will see, right? And so it is the outer beauty, but outer beauty only comes with inner beauty, right? And growth will only come through reaching your roots deep. Okay, so, and I love that because when I was thinking about this metaphor and the idea that what we produce, what people see, what we exhibit is dependent on our root structure, and that root structure has to be twice as big. Okay, so if you want to thrive in life or in the kingdom of God, your roots have to be way bigger, way greater, which means what? I need to spend way more time in my private connection to God, right? Because we're going to get into talking about a guy named Stephen Covey and some principles that he talked about. But basically, the root stuff is what people don't see, right? It's the things that we do, just us and God. We connect to God in prayer, in worship, in reading the word. We connect directly to God, right? And then the outcome in our life is the branches, is the leaves, is the fruit, is the shade, is the glory, is all the things that are seen, right? But that's not going to ever happen if we don't have deep roots, right? Getting those nutrients, right? Just shrivel up and die. So, I'm going to skip to it. So this is a good principle I want you guys to commit to memory, all right? The crown cannot grow higher than the roots are deep, okay? The crown can't grow any higher than the roots are deep. If the roots stop growing, the tree will stop growing, right?
It'll die.
Yeah, it'll probably die, yeah. But you're never going to have a huge, glorious, successful, flourishing tree with a weak root system, all right? So you've got to put those things first. You've got to put that connection with God in your personal life primary, first. Very important, okay? So, so back to who I was talking about, a guy named Stephen Covey. And he talks about two different levels of victories in our life, okay? Private victories and public victories. And I want you to think of these in terms of the tree. So your roots are the private victories, okay? That's the things you do on your own, by yourself, not because anybody sees, not because anybody's going to know. Like, for example, the Bible talks about how you don't make a big deal when you fast. You just fast, right? It's not a display. It's not all that stuff. These are private victories, okay? Your crown, the results, are going to be public victories, okay? So you pray and you connect to God, and you show up at church, and you're able to lay hands on, and people get filled with Holy Ghost, right? Because you're connected to God, and you're already tapped in, you're already tuned in, and you can be a good vessel for God to work through, right? So the roots are twice as important as what happens later, right, as the growth of the crown. Remember how we talked about in Isaiah chapter 61, he described it as the planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor, right? And that's how I think about the crown, right? The display of splendor. But it has to be rooted in order to grow that way. So there's a direct correlation between how much our tree can grow and how our root systems are. And it will never be any, crown will never grow any higher than the roots are deep. So, if we want to flourish in the kingdom of God, and in life, really, because this applies both to the principles of normal life as it does to the spiritual life, which it all works together, of course, but you have to have those deep roots. That's preeminent. That's first and foremost. So, remember how we said that roots anchor the tree to the ground, right? They keep it strong and sturdy during storms. When storms come, a tree can withstand high winds if it's got deep roots, all right? If the root structure wasn't greater than the crown, it would be top-heavy. You know what happens when something's top-heavy? It falls over, right? Okay? Those roots balance it and keep it stable and strong, okay? So before you endeavor to launch out into greatness and do amazing, incredible things that God has planned for your life in the kingdom of God, you got to dig those roots. And this is the perfect timing in your life. Like I said, in Ecclesiastes, now is the perfect time in your youth to dig those roots and develop that. So that when you're older and have opportunity to minister more, you have opportunity now. Don't misunderstand me. You do have opportunity now to be a minister. But as you grow, you'll have even more influence as you become an adult. And if you've got deep roots, then you'll be prepared to branch out. So, something else that's important to remember, and you mentioned that if your roots aren't growing, they'll die. Did you know that you can cut branches on a tree and it will live? Does anybody know what that's called?
Pruning.
Pruning! Very good. Who said that? You're just a horticultural expert over here. So, you can prune a tree. In fact, it's important to prune trees. Like, fruit trees especially have to be pruned. You have to cut back their branches for them to grow even more. And then the next year when they come back, they're even bigger and greater, more fruitful. But But you cannot cut the root, right? If you cut a root, then you're at risk for the whole tree dying, right? So those things that we talked about, the prayer, the word, all those different components, those are infinitely more important. You can't live without those. You can't survive without those, right? Sometimes, just to give you a visual idea, I mean, sometimes you're involved in a ministry that you have to step back from because time, maybe school gets really intense and you aren't able to do it anymore because you have to focus more on studying, something like that. That can happen. But you can't ever say, well, I'm too busy with school, I don't have time for a prayer life, right? Doesn't work like that, okay? So, you can't cut the roots. Okay, so let me have a question for all of you. How many of you guys are looking forward to leaving the church and the things of God when you turn 18? When you become an adult, you're looking forward to leaving church? Really? Wow. Okay. So, for the most part, people who backslide would not tell you that they were planning to backslide. They wouldn't say they were looking forward to
leaving?
Yes.
This is leading.
Oh, my goodness. I was so worried. I was like, okay, we're going to have to pray for
me. I know, like, for real. I was like, Lily.
I was so shocked.
Like, when you were leaving, you were like, yeah, I'm leaving the church.
We were terrified.
Leaving. No. I can't tell you how relieved I was. I was already planning parent conferences.
Because, like, you repeated and everything. She's like,
I know. She was like, yes. I was like, oh, my goodness. Stop it.
I was like, I know.
Woo.
I was looking at you.
Yeah,
that's what I was just like. Looking at you.
Yes, one day you will be leading into battle of worship. She'll be leading crazy.
I was like, why is anyone else
not leaving? Well, I was so confused. I was like, I can't
wait.
She was
proud.
I was like,
leaving.
Okay.
Oh, wow,
so. Reel it back in. So the fact of the matter is, most people who walk away would not have told you when they were 13 years old that that was always the plan, right? And there's an adage that says, we don't plan to fail, but we fail to plan, right? A vibrant apostolic life is not going to happen by accident. It's going to be a decision you make. It's going to be something that you choose, and you make the choice every single day to do, right? You have to be proactive and be purposeful. And sometimes it's going to take extra grit and determination. Some seasons it's going to be harder than others. But if you make that decision, then you can do it. You can walk it out, all right? So at this point in your life, a lot of times, for a lot of times when you're 12, 11, 13, it's easy because that's all you know. Or, you know, these are your friends. This is your group. These are your people. This is what you do, right? But as you get older and you work in a job maybe and you're surrounded by people who aren't apostolic or whatever the case may be, then you suddenly realize you're different and you have to use that muscle, that spiritual muscle, have those roots very deep that will hold you when it becomes harder, when it becomes more difficult being around people in the culture, right? The culture around you that has pressure, things like that. So, I'm going back to the guy I talked about earlier, Stephen Covey. Maybe you've not heard his name, but you've heard the book, Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. Okay? He actually has a teenage version, and I would highly recommend it because it's just good principles for how to live, or like ways to work your life and arrange your life so that you'll be able to be more successful and productive. Okay? And it's true for the kingdom of God as well as it is even in normal, just everyday secular life. Okay? I'm going to give you guys a couple of things. One of them is this chart, which I haven't read there yet. This is something that he uses in his book. No, there's two. You got two.
Oh.
And then one is the diagram of the tree. So the idea is that you categorize things that you do in terms of their urgency and their importance.
I can't figure out which square is for which.
Yeah. Well, okay, so if you ever remember doing the like the math facts charts where you go down and across.
Here.
Let me show you. Okay, so there's four quadrants, right? Here you have things that are important and urgent. They go up here. There are some things that are important but not urgent, and they would go here. Some things are not important, but they're urgent. They will go here. And some things are not important, and they're not urgent. That would be in the last box, okay? So, this is, and the idea of this is managing your time, managing your activities, and what you do. Because like I said, remember how I said, you don't plan to fail, you fail to plan? You're not going to live for God on accident, right? You're not going to turn around and be 30 years old and be like, wow, look at that. I'm still safe. You're going to have to make a decision. And then especially when you turn 15, and when you turn 18, and when you turn 20, you have to make that decision, right? Or you might be like Lily, and you're just ready to become. I'm just kidding. You're not going to live that one down, honey. What did you have your hand up for?
Is it like what is important or not important to us, or over the whole?
Well, we're going to get into the nitty-gritty of these things. So when it comes to living for God and all those things that we talked about, prayer, word, fasting, worship, all of that stuff has to become a priority, right? There's three things that we talked about, the comparison of, or the contrast, I should say, of private victories, right, which is the roots, and public victories, which is the crown. When we talk about the private victories, there are three things that Stephen Covey talks about in his book. One of them is be proactive. Make a plan, right? Like I said, you're not going to live for God by accident. You're not going to accidentally wake up and read three chapters of the Bible, right? You're going to decide to do that or not decide to do that, but you won't just be like, oh, how about that? I can't believe that. Now, you might get deep into it and accidentally read more than you thought you were going to, but, you know. But the idea here is be proactive, okay? Make a plan. I am a procrastinator. Does anybody know what a procrastinator is?
My dad's one. Like you put things off.
You put things off, and not for any particular reason, but just that maybe you just think, well, I can do it later. I'll do something else right now.
Yes. Yeah. My dad's up.
And so if I don't plan ahead, if I don't make the plan, you will not make it around to doing those core things that are so important, you know? Like I said, you're not going to accidentally read five chapters of the Bible. You know what I mean? Like, you have to choose to pick it up and open it and start reading. So be proactive. Make a plan so that it doesn't get pushed to the side. Begin with the end in mind. All right? Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18 says that without vision, the people perish. All right? You're 11, 12, 13. You need to have a vision for your life. It said, when I'm a grown woman, when I have a job, when I have a husband, when I have children, I want to live for God. I want to be living for God. Okay? If that's the vision, if that's the plan, you start right now with being proactive to make it happen, right? And then putting first things first. And this is where it ties into the chart that I just gave you. Yes.
I already have my plan for my life.
Oh.
And I'm going to make a lot of money.
All right. Well, if you're good, but what are you going to have to do to get there?
Well, first I need to tap into the mortgage and swap out the stock exchange. And then when I'm a lawyer, I am going to obviously become a judge. And then that will give me the entry to the government and so on.
Okay. So, but you're not going to, huh?
She goes stars.
But you're not going to wake up one day and do that, right? There's going
to
be steps.
Probably not. I need to. Like,
lawyer, how long did your dad go to school, Ava?
Well,
is it 8 years they have to go? I mean, a judge? I mean, all that stuff. Okay? So you have to make a plan, right? You have to be proactive. And you have to put first things first. What does that mean?
Important things in front of the...
Important things first. I want you to practice this idea. Next time you think, oh, I don't have time for that. Instead of saying, I don't have time for blank, try saying, blank is not a priority, right? So if you say, I don't have time for prayer, I don't have time to read my Bible, try saying, reading my Bible is not a priority, prayer is not a priority.
Ooh. Well then, ooh, you need to...
It gives you a bad feeling in your heart, right? But that's the facts, right? So for me, I have to get up early. Like, if I don't get started, if I don't start first things first doing, connecting to God, then life gets so busy, and I have kids and all these different things, and it will get, the day will get away from me. So I've learned to put my phone in my alarm, in the bathroom. So I have to get all the way out of my bed to go to the bathroom to turn it off, right? And that little bit of blood flow that it takes to walk to the bathroom is just enough to have me awake You know, because have you ever had those times where you turn off your alarm and you don't even remember hearing it go off?
Yes.
Have you ever done that?
You already feel like
I broke my alarm. Sleep and you must have done it completely unconscious.
I broke my alarm. My parents have not been in
so, if you don't, yeah. So you have to do something to act this. So I learned that's what happens to me. And so I'd hit the snooze 5 times before I realized. So I put it in the bathroom. I have to walk all the way there. Sometimes I have to stand in front of the mirror like this for a little while. Don't go back to bed. Don't go back to bed. But getting up and getting out of bed helps. Okay? So be proactive. Make a plan. All right? So putting first things first. Let's take a look at your quadrants there. All right? We're going to do a little mind exercise, not meditation, no birds landing on your head. And think about what this means, all right? So basically, you want to learn to not to prioritize what's in your schedule, but to schedule what's a priority. What's a priority? What does that mean?
Something important
that you must do.
Okay, very good. It's something important that you must do. It's also sometimes just something that's very valuable to you. You are an artist, a beautiful artist, and you love that, right? And so maybe you make a priority of practicing because it means so much to you, right?
I do.
So a priority is something that is important to be done, right? Something that needs to be done or is of great value to you personally to be done. All right? So we have to learn not to prioritize what's in our schedule, just living by whatever happens, but to put into our schedule those things that are important, right? Okay, like I was talking about waking up early. If 5 o'clock in the morning is the only time that I'm going to have to sit down and read the Word of God and pray, that's when I need to get up, you know? So that's what, you know? So I stumble from the bathroom to the kitchen, I get a cup of coffee, and I get my Bible, and I go talk to Jesus, right? Because that's what you got to do.
And don't spill your coffee on your Bible.
Oh, I'm trying. Well, I think every book I own is coffee splattered. But so we need to think about what is the most valuable. What is the priority in our life? Okay, so let's think about this. We kind of talked about what we know what important or not important means, right? And look, this is not a discussion of sin. This is not a discussion of things that are bad. This is literally just talking about things in terms of their value, right? Or their essential nature, the essentialness of them. Okay, so what does urgent mean? We know what important and not important is.
Has
what is
to be
urgent?
Done. Has to be done.
Has to be done, because that's important.
Now.
Now.
Yeah. Has to be
right
done
now. Has to be done right now. Okay? So can you think of an example of something being urgent?
Yes. Going to church when you're late.
Well, I mean, you're thinking about something like cannot not be done.
School.
Well, we should be.
Homework?
Schoolwork? Okay, so let's think about it like this. We'll think of it in terms of school, okay? So, your project is due tomorrow at 8 a.m. when you show up for school. Did anybody just start sweating?
I homeschool.
So, it has to be done. It's urgent. Like, you're going to either do that, or you're not going to get an A, or you're going to fail the class, or whatever the case may be. So, that's urgent. You can't wait until Thursday, right? That's what it means to be urgent, okay? I mean, another example of urgent would be like somebody's legs cut open. We got to stop the bleeding, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you can't just be like, we'll get around to that. You know, it'll bleed out and die, okay? So it's urgent. It's important, okay? Schoolwork, something like that project, that's urgent and important. I have to do it. My teacher's going to give me an F if it's not on time, right?
Oh, God,
something that would be not urgent. Or let's go ahead and stick to the quadrants. What's something that's important but not urgent? So let's correlate it back to school, right? So maybe urgent and important is, I've got a project, it's 20% of my grade, and it's due tomorrow. Okay, that's important because you might fail if you don't get this done.
Studying.
Okay, studying. Perfect, okay? So it's important, but if your test isn't until Friday, is it urgent that you study on Monday?
No,
but is it important?
Yes.
Yes, right? Because you're going to do better if you start today. Now, if it's Thursday night at 11 p.m. and your test is tomorrow?
It's urgent.
It's urgent and important, right?
Yeah.
Okay, but if you start on Monday, it's important, but it's not urgent, okay? So what about things that are not important? That's a little bit different, isn't it? Are there things that we do, again, I'm not talking about sin, we're talking about just normal life things, that are not important that we do?
Playing with Legos.
Playing with Legos, okay.
I like playing with Legos.
I like playing with Legos too. But so let's think about something that's not important, but is urgent.
Right.
I'm going to give you well, it's not urgent, but that would be a good example of not urgent, not important, right? I don't have to do it right now, and I don't have to do it at all. So playing with Legos would be an example.
Mm-hmm. Me and my little brother share a bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
He leaves his Legos on the floor, and Papa says, pick the Legos up or are you grounded. Next day, Florence Quinn.
I bet it is. Yes, ma'am.
Watching TV all day.
Oh, my goodness. So that's not urgent, not important, right? There's no value add there. That's for sure. That's a very good example. But something that would be urgent but not important. I'm going to give you a scenario.
That is difficult.
It is difficult. I've got a good one, though. Okay? How many of you guys like to go shopping?
Yes.
London, you don't like to go shopping. You can do. You like to go shopping, don't you? Okay,
but
so.
It is urgent.
If your mom said, listen, I'm going to something. Okay? I'm gonna go to what store do y'all like?
Ross.
Yeah.
Go to Ross.
Like you guys like all kinds of stores.
Like H&M.
Okay, so I'm going to the outlet. That's the only place they have an outlet.
Just the mall because they've got outlets.
Okay. So mom says, I'm leaving in 15 minutes to go to the outlets. Okay? Is it important that you go to the outlets?
No.
But if you want to go to the outlets with your mom, is it urgent?
Yes. But not really.
Do you understand?
Like, not to everybody, but
not right. But the point of the matter would be, like, in that moment, you might be doing something else, right? Yeah. You might be reading a book, or you might be fixing your hair, and you want it to be so cute, but she says, no, literally, I'm leaving in 15 minutes, hair done or not done, if you want to come, you're coming with me. Then it becomes more urgent and important that you just do something so you can get in the car, right? Okay? So maybe you grab all your hairpins and you stick them in the bag so you can do it in the car on the way there. But that would be an example of something that's not important. You don't have to go shopping. But if you're going to go shopping today, it's urgent that you go get in the car. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of a rare one, but they're there.
They're there.
And we kind of talked about some things that are not urgent and they're not important. These are time wasters. Ava mentioned watching television, right? Okay, people that just sit around. There's some people, I don't understand how they live their life as much television as they watch. How do you get anything done? Okay? When you start talking to people about, and they tell you things that they, watch or whatever. What would be another example of something not urgent, not important?
Reading.
Sometimes, recreational reading, like fiction, things you just want to read, yeah.
Mm-hmm. An example would be playing video games.
I also want to clarify that we don't watch TV, but I'm talking about people out there who tell you about things that they watch, and you are like, how do you do all that and your family is fed and you have laundry clean? I don't understand how you watch that much television. Scrolling social media. I don't know, you guys probably don't have social media because y'all are kind of young for that. That would be it's a time waster, right? There's no value add there and you just are doing it and it's just wasting your time. It's not urgent, it's not important. You guys have other examples of things? Unfortunately,
I have to say
that playing Legos is not urgent or important.
I think it's kind of, it varies for me because, of my life, everything is either, urgent and I have to get it done now, and there's really hardly any time for stuff that's not important or urgent.
Mm-hmm.
Not urgent. So, I think it depends on my schedule because anything could be considered urgent. Anything. Anything in my day, because I have, chores and quizzing mm-hmm. and homework and school,
right.
And that to me is very important. I have to get done, and then watching my siblings mm-hmm. and trying to help out with the house.
Yeah.
So then, I think the only thing that's not really important to me is getting my own alone time, which I still think is urgent to me,
mm-hmm.
Important to me because that's the only time I have to myself.
Right. And that is very important, right?
So
especially
it's important to me, so mm-hmm. I guess it depends. Because, they're playing with Legos. No, it's not important. But, when you're busy all day long, that's the only time you get to yourself.
Right.
That's important.
And that's a very good point, Lily, because there is times of just rest. And that would fall under not urgent, maybe, unless you haven't slept, but it does fall under important. So it would be up in there in that top quadrant, yeah. So, as opposed to, you just want to recreationally read, you want to, look at pictures of cats on the internet. I don't know what people like to do.
What
just
is it with the internet and cats?
But you have to.
I definitely just sit in my clothes.
But the point of it is, girls, and what I want you to take away from this idea is that everything you do every day fits into one of these things, one of these quadrants. And, you know, it would probably be really good for you. You can use this one that I gave you. You could just keep a journal about it or whatever. And everything that you do, I know you have to break it down. I brush this side of my teeth and then I brush that side of my teeth. But, like, everything you do, if you kind of notice where they go in this quadrant, right? So if you got a lot of things that are urgent, important or not important, then maybe you are a procrastinator like me and you need to think about planning ahead so you can get into this not urgent time. That's better, right? If you have a lot of stuff down there in quadrant four, not urgent, not important, and you realize how much time you spend on those sorts of things, it might be something to evaluate, right?
Mine are usually just important. Mine are usually just important.
There's no claim that you are spending a disproportionate amount of time in any of those areas. But the point of the matter is, because all this relates back to what we were talking about, right? With putting first things first and making sure that you make time to stretch your roots, prayer, word, worship, all these sorts of things. We're trying to make space for those valuable things, right? Okay? So, if you evaluate your life and your day and things that you do in terms of this, you can see where, oh, I really do have time that I could be spending in the Word. I do have time that I could be spending in prayer, right? And if you don't feel like you do, then you need to see what in these quadrants is taking time that you could put into the valuable things.
Mm-hmm. That's something that was urgent. When I was sick, I had this disgusting pink medicine that I had to take every morning and every night. And mm-hmm. if I didn't take it, then I could have heart problems when I got older.
Right.
And it was super scary and super disgusting, and I think that would be pretty important. Pretty
urgent. That's urgent and important, right?
Yeah.
Because you need to take it every day so that you get better, so that you don't continue to be sick and have worse complications. Yeah, exactly. But yeah, but so the point of it, girls, is to say, like, what does your day look like? What are you doing with your time? And are you making those things of God a priority? Are you making that time a priority, right? Because personal time with God is not something that's reserved for a preacher, right? Or preacher's wife, or even just grown-ups in general, right? You guys right now could have a vibrant personal life of connection with God, right? And that's a choice that you can make right now, having that vision, right? Being proactive and connecting to God so that your roots are deep, all right? So that when you grow, then you will be rooted and nothing can turn you over, right? Okay? So, no better time than right now, right? I want you to remember Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 1. Remember your Creator and right now. Make that connection to God. Dig deep. Get rooted. Okay? Thanks for coming, girl. Have fun with y'all.
I thought you were late, so which one is this? Is there still another one after this one?
No, this is the last session. So now is when we all go back into the sanctuary. So do you have time for a restroom break and things like that? If you want to go do that.
What happens after we go to the sanctuary?
After the sanctuary, we'll go to the gym for food, for lunch.
I loved it.
Oh,
it was my favorite one.
Oh, I'm so glad.